I am Plant on the Line in Vancouver at thecommentary.ca. Jody Mittick joins me now. His memoir, Unflinching, The Making of a Canadian Sniper, was a national bestseller and was released in paperback recently. It, too, is selling quite well. It's a frank memoir about Mr. Mittick's time in the Canadian Forces as a sniper. He talks about his childhood dreams of joining the military, making it through the training and the horrors of war he saw through his tours in Afghanistan. In 2007, life changed for Jody when he stepped on a landmine. He lost both his legs below the knee, thus ending his career as a soldier. I'll ask Jody about the road back. In the book, he talks about walking and running again, as well as dealing with the pain medication, competing on the Amazing Race Canada, and winning a seat on the Ottawa City Council. Jody Mittick is a 12-year veteran of the Canadian Forces and sniper team leader. He's a sought-after public speaker and was elected an Ottawa City Councillor in 2014. The website for more is at unflinchingbook.ca. The Twitter handle is at Jody Mittick. The book is published by Simon & Schuster. Please welcome to the Plant on the Line program in Ottawa today, Jody Mittick. Mr. Mittick, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Pretty good. Yourself?
I'm great.
Has the success of the book, first in hardcover and now in softcover, has that surprised you?
Yeah, you know what? Actually, it's been a real surprise, and also, it was completely unexpected, frankly. You know, I signed the book contract with Simon & Schuster, and if you don't know, I'm a city councilor in Ottawa now, and then when I retired from the Army, I ran for city council and won.
Yeah.
So the book's success, you know, it's been actually it's been tough to balance the time between the book and my real job, which is serving my constituents in Ottawa.
Mm-hmm. And do you think because the book has done well, that the people who are buying the book, the Canadian book buying public readers, if you will, do you think they were looking for something inspiring, something motivational? Say.
You know, I don't know. I mean, I suppose that they are. I think, you know, everybody likes a good story, and you know, one thing that I promised myself when I got wounded is that I would never quit, and what that meant was it didn't mean that I would kill myself to walk again. It just meant that every day, you know, I'd get up and I'd walk, and all I could do is walk 3 or 4 steps. That's all I would do, but I'd do that every day. And also, I think the Canadian public, you know, they want to support their soldiers, so they're looking for more stories about us and what we do when we're overseas. And I think that's part of the success, too, is that we haven't had that many books come out about our adventures in Afghanistan yet. And, you know, I think the Canadian public is hungry and ready to see how proud their soldiers really made them over there.
Yeah, for a lot of us, we don't have a personal connection to the conflicts of the last 10, 15 years or so. And so is there something that you'd like us to keep in mind, say, to always remember about the men and women who are elsewhere fighting for us?
Well, you know, I guess for my perspective, I joined during the decade of darkness, and, you know, we weren't even allowed to go off base in our uniform, and we were told the public was intimidated by their military and things like that, and I don't know how true that was, frankly, but, you know, if that's what was being communicated, then I guess there was some kernel of truth to it. But, you know, what we really want as soldiers from our Canadian public is just, you know, support. You know, we don't need, you know, we don't need too many accolades and things like that, but, you know, what we do need is we need the public support in order for us to do our mission. And our mission is given to us by the Canadian people through the government that they elect. And that's all we really ask is that you guys just try and remember that you do have soldiers probably out there somewhere with the Canadian flag on their shoulder representing you internationally, and just support them in any way that you can, even if it's just you know, a prayer on Remembrance Day or something like that. That's all we really ask for.
And we need to remember that even if we're opposed to whatever conflict it might be, right?
Yes, I mean, like I was saying, the missions given to the soldiers come from the government elected by the people. And, you know, we might not always agree on the direction of the policy of the government, but the soldiers are just there to implement that policy. You know, we don't make the decision on where we go and what we do. You know, that's up to the elected government of the country. And so, and you know, we're all volunteers, and we soldier for Canada. You don't get rich soldiering, and you know, there's a lot of risk involved in the job. So, you know, all we hope for is that our Canadian public stays behind us no matter what.
Jody, you're someone who served this country. You know, you've lost both of your legs in the service of this country. Well, what do you tell people who say you're a hero?
I tell them that there's guys out there a lot more heroic than me, and many of them never made it home. And you know, I was just one guy doing a job that he loved to do. And you know, I used to say I would soldier for the Queen for free as long as she gave us a few pints of beer now and then. I miss it every day. And I'm definitely, I don't think I'm a hero. I'm just a soldier that did his job to the best of his ability, like most of my brothers and sisters in arms did.
That's the thing after reading your book that I still don't really understand, Jody, is after everything that's happened to you, you still want to go there. You want to go back.
Well, yeah, I mean, I loved it, man. I think, I don't know, soldiering was, you know, everybody, some people find a job and they never feel like they're at work. And when I was soldiering, I never felt like I was working. I always felt like I was doing exactly what I wanted to do and what I was meant to do. And you know, Canada is a just country. We have the most amazing quality of life in the world. We have, you know, we look after our people. You know, we live in a country where what you say matters. And I would defend our democracy, you know, a thousand times if I had a thousand lives to give. And when I see things that are happening overseas that we can be involved in, try and make things a little bit better, 100% I would love to be involved. And also, you know, you just miss it when you've soldiered for 20 years and you finally hang up the uniform, especially if it's not on your terms. You know, it's just something you miss, and I miss being shoulder to shoulder with my buddies in the dirt.
Now you have seen the horrors of war, the excitement of war as well. A lot of us can't understand that unless we're there. Now, is it a huge come down for you from all that tension? I mean, you work yourself up for battle, I suppose. That's what your training's for. So when you come back to civilian life, is that a huge come down?
You'll hear this from a lot of soldiers, and I think it's, what's his name? There's an author. He did the movie Restrepo. Man, his name escapes me, I apologize, but, you know, they say soldiers get addicted to war, and I believe it. You know, you're always looking for that thing that's going to get the heart rate up, and, you know, whether it's riding motorcycles or, training MMA or, you know, just, you're always looking for the next, something, and yeah, it does take a bit of a time to adjust, I suppose, to civilian life. Even now, like, you know, I'm an elected city councilor in Ottawa now. I was lucky enough to run and be chosen by the people of my ward in Ottawa. And, you know, you have to remember that, you know, politics is not, sometimes it's very boring.
Yeah.
And you got to remember that and keep that in mind when you're trying to, you know, get something done. So yeah, I would definitely agree with that statement.
What struck me too, because you describe in great detail what happened on January 11th, 2007, when your legs were taken out, were blown off, is how in those moments after, you don't panic, and I guess that's part of your training as an elite sniper, as a soldier, right? You just You just don't panic, and I mean, there's a lesson there for all of us, isn't there?
Yeah, you know, one of the things that is one of the best training tools that we find in snipers and in some of the other tougher jobs, visualization. So, and, you know, when you visualize possibilities, you start to be able to process them a little bit better. You can only train so much, but, you know, the other tool that you have is visualization. So always imagining that nothing will ever go wrong is not good for you, because you need to be prepared for when things go wrong. And when you're in a gig like I was, there's a high probability of things going wrong. Mm. Now, that being said, I was also a mature soldier. I've been at 30. I've been soldiering for 13 years already. You know, I was a master sniper. I was in a leadership position. You know, would 19-year-old Jody have handled it as well? Who's to say? But the first thing you don't want to do when you're, especially in a position like I was, is panic, because that pretty much leads to a faster death.
And when did the pain set in, or when did you start feeling pain?
Immediately. Yeah. It didn't take long for the body to figure out what had happened.
Yeah, and in terms of bleeding out, I mean, I guess if you had your buddies with you and they did the first aid that they could, I guess that really helped, didn't it, to prevent bleeding out, right?
Well, every soldier there carried two what's called Israeli tourniquets, and they're called Israeli because they're from Israel. And Israel is in battle, not large, but they're in constant skirmish. So they're always coming up with better ways to do things like first aid and stuff like that. So each guy had two Israeli tourniquets on them. And your first aid kit is for you. It's not for your buddy. You would use yours on your buddy if you had to, but the point is to always have stuff for yourself and to use on you. So the first thing my buddies did is slap a tourniquet on the femoral arteries in the upper part of the thigh, and that probably saved my life.
Yeah. How has Canada done in terms of our treatment of wounded veterans when they come home, especially those with PTSD?
Despite the press, this might surprise that, you know, Canada is actually one of the leading countries when it comes to dealing with PTSD. We still have a long way to go, but we started to address it in the military in the 90s, when a lot of other militaries were still denying that it was even happening. And so we're about 10 to 20 years ahead of a lot of our allies. And but even with the acknowledgement that PTSD is around and that for me, on paper, I'm 104% disabled because it's 52% per leg on the meat chart. That's what we call it.
Yeah.
You know, there's still a lot of, administration that requires weird proof of disability and stuff like that. And so, and frankly, right now, to be honest, the new Veterans Charter is not working. And now, that doesn't mean it's not working for everyone, but for the extremely wounded guys like me, the guys in the 75 to 100% disability or injured range, you know, the charter just isn't working. And we had 9 years of the previous government where we tried to convince them, and now we got a new government that we're basically starting all over again, where they promised to bring back the lifelong medical pensions, and as a politician myself, I'm willing to give them another year or two to try and come through with that. But it's just a bit telling. It's we're great at the front end. My medical treatment when I was wounded was incredible. You know, it was some of the finest available in Canada. Great rehab center in Toronto. I get all the prosthetics that I ever asked for and stuff like that. But, the overall financial stability of the injured and ill is a big question mark. And we really need to fix that, because I have two daughters that I would love if they served Canada in uniform like their mother and I did. But, you know, depending on how Veterans Affairs or what the benefits go, how the benefits decisions go, I don't know if I would actually be comfortable with it at this time.
Now, you're a politician now serving on Ottawa City Council. I'm sure a lot of people ask if you'll pursue other office, higher office even. What do you tell them?
Right now, I tell them, of course, I think about it. You know, I'd be a liar if I said I didn't. But I got, you know, I have a job to serve my constituents, and I'm doing my best to concentrate on that. But, you know, we'll see what happens. Depends on what direction things go. But, you know, it's I'm not a guy to sit in one place too long. That's pretty much how I'll leave it.
Well, you mentioned your wife, Alana. She also served. And so when it is January 11th every year, because we're coming up to 10 years since the incident, what do you guys do on that day?
For a bunch of years, we try to get all the guys that were there together, and we try and come up with a bit of a theme. You know, for the fifth year, I got five alive. Everyone brought me five alive, and my daughters give me funky socks as a present and stuff. But last year, or this year, I guess, last January, we didn't really do much. I was feeling a bit... I just felt like I didn't want to make a big deal of it this year. But with the 10-year anniversary coming up, it's also my 40th birthday, and Alana's birthday is right after mine. So, you know, we're looking at maybe going to Vegas and seeing how many friends want to come. But we try to just get together with friends and comrades that were there and try and make it a bit of a remembrance for everybody that didn't make it home, as well as those of us that came home with some scars.
Jody, this is a great book, and thank you for your service. Congratulations again on it, and continued good luck with everything.
Wow, I appreciate that a lot, and thanks so much for having me on.
You're very welcome. The book is called Unflinching, The Making of a Canadian Sniper. It's published by Simon & Schuster. Jody Middick, its author, joined me on the line from Ottawa in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Plante.